Daughter of Silence, written by Morris West and read by Bruce Kerr. It was bright noon, high summer in the upland valleys of Tuscany, a torpid time, a season of dust and languor, of stripped flax and larks in the wheat stubble, and new wines coming to vintage in the country of the elder gods. It was an hour of bells, undulant in a dry air, tranquil over the tombs of dead saints and the feuds of forgotten mercenaries. It was a persuasion to darkness and drawn shutters, since who but dogs and Americans would expose their foolish foreheads to an August sun at midday. In the village of San Stefano, the first strokes of the Angelus were sounding over the square. The bell-ringer was old, and the music of his chimes was muted. The village was drowsy and replete with a good harvest, so the last passages of its morning life were muted too. An old man stopped, crossed himself, and stood with bowed head as the triple tones rang out from the white campanile. A tubby fellow in a white apron with a checkerboard napkin over his arm stood at the door of the restaurant and picked his teeth with a match. A mule-faced policeman made a tentative step outside his door, squinted languidly round the square, spat, scratched himself, and then wandered back to his wine and cheese. Water welled sluggishly from the mouths of tired dolphins and spilled into the shallow basin of the fountain, while a skinny boy sailed a paper boat in the eddies. A charcoal burner trundled his handcart over the cobbles. The cart was piled high with little bunches of twigs and brown bags filled with charcoal. A small girl was perched on top of them, tousle-haired, serious of mien, like a woodland elf. A barefoot woman with a baby on her hip came out of the wine shop and headed for the alley at the far end of the piazza. 5 miles away, the towers and tumbled roofs of Siena reared themselves hazy and magical against a copper sky. It was a placid tableau, curiously antique, sparsely peopled, its animation geared to the low pulse beat of country living. Here, time flowed sluggishly as the fountain, and the only change was a cyclic mutation of age and the seasons. This, one understood, was a tribal enclave, where tradition was more important than progress, where custom was 9 points of the law, and old loves were cherished as sedulously as old hates and the tangled loyalties of blood and bondage. There was a road in and a road out, one leading to Arezzo, the other to Siena. But their traffic was small and seasonal. The trunk routes of tourism and commerce had always bypassed San Stefano. The valley farms were small and jealously reserved to their peasant owners, so there was no welcome for migrants. Those who went away were the restless or the footloose or the ambitious, and the village was happily quit of them.